Hello. The date of this recording is Wednesday, January the 8th, 1986. My name is Otis O. Rhodes, and I am conducting an informal interview or an informal conversation with my mother-in-law, Mrs. Lula Mae Jackson, who is affectionately referred to by most people in this community as Mama Lula. So you will most frequently hear me refer to her by that title rather than by any other title. Mama Lula is a rather remarkable person because at the tender age of 92, she maintains the alertness, the vision, the wit, and the wisdom of a much younger person. She cooks for herself and maintains her own home. She counsels the neighborhood's youth and adults, including myself. She is an avid reader, and she is very active in her church, the First Missionary Baptist Church of Lufkin, at which she is in regular attendance, and she presently plays piano for the Sunday school. Now, Mama Lula, if for any reason or at any point during this interview you wish to postpone, delay, or cancel it, simply say so, okay? I'll begin by simply asking, where were you born?
See, Mama, I don't know this here in town. It was here in Lufkin, I can just use that word, because I don't know whether they was canning them to hospitals and things like that or not, you know.
So you were born in Lufkin?
Uh-huh.
Were you born in the little town of Lufkin, or were you born in some of the little settlements on the outside of Lufkin, like Keltis or Cedar Grove, or were you born in Lufkin itself?
Here in Lufkin.
So you were born in the little town of Lufkin?
Yeah.
What was your father's name?
Forrest Jones.
Forrest Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know where he was born?
No.
You do not know where he was born. Uh-uh. What about your mother? What was her name?
She come out from Trinity County, somewhere is what she told me, you know, because when she left home, she ran away. They were on a farm.
Mm-hmm.
She come on in here, cause you see she left her husband. Well, I won't say she left him. She left him, but he they couldn't get along.
Oh, I see. And what was your mother's name?
Emma Jones.
Emma Jones.
Uh-huh.
That was after she married your father, who was Forrest Jones, then she became Emma Jones.
That was his name too.
Oh, I see.
They had been married, you see.
Oh, your father and mother had been married, and then they kind of split up and came back together later.
They didn't come back. But here what he would do. When he would go through the woods, lay down the pipelines and things like that. Yeah. He'd always have a woman at his camp.
Oh, really?
Them McGowns, you know, Willie McGowns and all like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd always have a woman. He'd get mad. And he'd come, Emma, come on out there and cook. she wouldn't have nothing to do with him, but she'd go out there and cook them one or two, and they'd get mad. And when he'd leave going on his work, she'd go to the commissary and just bye, and just catch that train and come right on back to Lufkin.
Come on back to Lufkin where her children and other folks were.
Yeah, that's what she do. That's what she do. See,
did you have any sisters or brothers?
Lonzo, that's Jonita, and Ed, and Jonita, and
so Lonzo,
dad is dead.
Lonzo was your brother then.
Uh huh.
Did you have another brother?
Yeah, MC.
MC.
Yeah, that was the baby boy. He was younger than me, you see.
I see.
He was with us, you see.
So you had two brothers, Lonzo and
uh-huh.
MC.
Uh-huh.
I see. What about sisters? Did you have any sisters?
Uh-uh.
Didn't have any sisters at all?
Uh-uh.
And have you lived in Angelina County all your life? Since you have lived here all your life?
Uh-huh.
Is that so?
Yeah.
And you're a long-time resident of Angelina County then.
Yeah.
Well, you just indicated
But you see, I was raised in the church, and we go places, and there were several places where we'd go. I would play the organ or piano for the... You know, the people that sang in that convention or something. I was always into that.
I see, but you always lived in Angelina County and in Lufkin.
Yeah.
Well, you have already indicated one way that your dad earned his living. He worked laying down pipeline, I guess.
But them women... They were good to us. They'd pack up boxes of brand new ready-made things and send to me and MC. And send them here. And there was one woman that I don't know whether Liz is dead or not. One of them Nacogdoches women. She'd come here and she'd stay 5 or 6 days with Mama.
Is that right?
Mama didn't care.
Well,
because she's going to work. Mama's going to her work.
Well, what kind of work did your mother do?
Mama worked sometimes. It's according to what she going to do. She worked mostly cooking. And when she didn't cook, she would just maid, you know, the hotels and things like that.
No, I see.
And she always had a babysitter. Mama always had a babysitter.
A babysitter for her children?
For us. Me and MC.
Is that right?
You right about that now, O.D.
So even though she was out working herself, she made sure
and
that
I mean,
was...
they would like, they would like to do it too, because she kept plenty of flour and stuff in her.
Plenty of food to eat, in other words. So the babysitter knew that they were going to get plenty of meat when they came and sat.
Yeah, they kept plenty.
Well, as you grew up and got older, did you do any kind of work around the house yourself when you were still living with your mother and dad as you became, say, 10, 12, 14 years
old? As I grew up, you see, Miss Garrett was a wonderful woman. And she seen the Henrys. She'd pick up the best girls and came to the association with her. And so she take care of us. She seen that we walk right, talk right.
Mm-hmm.
She absolutely took care of us.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. She sure did do it. And she's the first one comes to can me and them see the sun school tree.
Mm-hmm.
Little Todd. And it was design y'all's church.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. He'd come around that, you know, close that railroad track.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Down in, come up in there. You know, you can come up a street. You can come out the main street, you know.
Right.
Like you're coming to that building there.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Or you could go through a trail or something and go across the track and also get over there.
Uh-huh. Used to be shallow.
Mm-hmm.
New Zion.
So as a young girl, you didn't have any steady job. Is that right?
Yeah.
So you kind of grew up in a cultured kind of way.
Uh-huh.
That I would suppose most young girls of your age and race maybe didn't quite have the upbringing that you had then.
And Mama seen that every time I had a good day, now a lot of times I used to would go with her own jobs, put out a washing, you know, went with her and help her.
And helped her on her job.
Uh-huh, and then hike out to school and put in them few days and just kept on. It take me young to tell you about me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What was school like in those days? Ooh, what kind of things did you...
It was wonderful.
Is that right? Yeah. You enjoyed school then?
Yeah, I did. And when there were Ms. Longs, Miss Longs, her husband was a brakesman, and she'd take extra lessons, come out to the schoolhouse and take extra lessons under Professor, I didn't know his name now, I can't think of it now. Fields.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. She'd come out and take but she'd hate to be, you know, by herself in there. She'd stick her head out and do, Lulu said, come on in here and be in there with me in this class. You know, I'm learning.
Is that right?
I go in there, do you know I won? Go in there and sit down and I learn a lot.
Even though the class was not especially for you, but you would go in with her.
I was just to be with her.
To be with her, and you would learn as a result of being in there.
And as soon as it was over, it wouldn't be no more than about a half an hour. Mm-hmm. I'd be back out there with R.D. Jones and my... I had a friend, and she was so jealous she couldn't stand to see me talk to another girl. And so, but that was it.
That was what your school life was like.
Uh-huh.
Did y'all have any special occasions during your school days?
Ooh,
like they have?
That Hugh Hackney could get up there. And there was a speech he said. No, that was Robert Brown. That was Robert Brown spoke this speech.
And would these be at special programs that the school would put on, or would this be in the...
Ooh, you talking about programs. And when that girl come out from Beaumont, Law Bass, beautiful black girl. She was had been studying music, and of course she hadn't finished, but she come on here and got her class, and so she she done very nicely, and they had a big concert one night, and Laura had me playing the the bass part, and she put she was on this end, and I was on this end, and some of them said, "My God, Sir Lou can beat her." it's wonderful to live like that, O.D.
It is indeed.
Yeah.
You mentioned a while ago one of the happiest moments of your life. Could you explain again what that happiest moment of your life was? It had to do with their needing somebody to teach music or something like that. How did that come about?
Boy, big boy. It was. A big association was coming here, and they were needing First Baptist Choir training.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been intending to ask our pastor and his wife, but at that time, they ought to know a little something about this old lady. She was a regular missionary woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she was coming, and her daughter was coming right to First Baptist.
Oh, yeah.
To this meeting. And they wanted, you see, they were going to need somebody to train this First Baptist choir and get it ready for Beaumont.
Mm-hmm.
Get it ready for Beaumont. And so I got word that they were gonna need somebody that could play by note.
Uh-huh.
Play by note, old Dean.
Play by note, not just by ear.
Uh-huh.
I see.
Play by note.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we got the choir organized, see, because this man, the commander of that choir, that was a man that was gonna come in and train this choir. You see, he lived over here in Luckerland. I can't think of that man's name now. And so, when I comes to train them, I trained them because it wasn't another black woman, black gal in Lufkin that was playing by note but me.
Is that right?
But me, O.D.
Well, that's remarkable.
Now, I'm telling you, only one, and that was me.
So they chose you to train this choir?
Uh-huh. And I accepted that, and I trained them, and when I got through with them, then I went on and there are people that can play good music,
mm-hmm.
and don't know one note from another.
Yes, that's true.
Sure was. But it wasn't a one. This thing, one Negro. I was the only Negro in Lufkin
that could play by note.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's remarkable.
Now I'm telling you, that's enough to be happy over.
That is indeed.
Uh-huh.
Then you were quite talented.
Then I left them. Went on out to Keltis and got Keltis ready for Boomer.
Mm-hmm. After getting First Baptist
after I got that First Baptist.
Then you went to Keltis and got them ready.
Because Keltis is of the same association that
First Baptist
she's
was.
Kin, uh-huh, mm-hmm. And she's kin to Beaumont.
I see.
Uh-huh.
I smell
some burning.
Okay, now when you got grown and started your family, now how did you meet your husband?
How did I meet mine?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. He was the best. He was about the best thing that ever you want to see. We went,
where did your husband work at that time?
The box factory.
Mm-hmm.
Is from that up here where the trains all be. Where's that big thing? When you go around by Miss Hills and
the roundhouse, I think they used to call it.
You know, not far from that used to be a box factory in there.
Oh yeah.
Uh huh.
Mhm.
Box
know
factory in there.
And that's where you met him.
And that's where I met him.
All right. And his full name was what?
Nathan Jackson.
Nathan Jackson.
Uh huh.
And
And
y'all had how many children? Can you the oldest child? Do you recall?
The oldest one was Lola B.
Lola B.
Uh huh. The oldest one was Lola B. But yeah. She's the oldest.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's Nathaniel.
Okay. Yeah, Nathaniel Jr.
And you know, that was, Roscoe was Nate.
Okay. Lola B, that wasn't the same as Velma, was it?
Huh?
Was Lola B, that was not the same. Didn't you have a girl named Velma?
Velma was his sweetheart. He was in Tennessee. Velma was one that Boy was going to get married to.
Oh, that wasn't your daughter?
Okay. Yeah, that's the one you was helping me out with.
Oh, I see. Okay. So Lola B was the oldest, then Nathaniel Jr., which we call Boy. Then Roscoe. And then Bobby.
Boy.
No, that was...
Boy.
T.
Yeah. T up there.
And then Bobby and Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then Fulton.
Yeah.
So, in all, then you had Lola B, Boy, Roscoe, T.
I don't have Boy. Do I?
Yeah, that was Nathan Jr. I mean, all the children that you had at one time. I was thinking of.
It was
Lola B was your first child. Boy was your second child.
Yeah.
Boy was second. And let's see. Was Roscoe older than T?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Roscoe's older than T.
And then T.
And
Bobby.
And
Pat.
Yeah.
And Fulton.
Yeah.
So in all, you have had seven children, all in all. I see. And you were mentioning where you worked. After you became grown yourself, then you started working.
And what
kind of job did you work on?
I cooked.
You cooked most of the time.
I cooked and then I take music again because you see she was a German.
Oh yeah.
You
were taking music even after you got grown.
Sure.
Is that right?
Yeah, you can't learn. It's so much
to learn.
So much learn.
Then did you ever teach anybody else music?
Yep. Oh, yes, 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 yes. I reckon I had good classes. Good classes.
Did you ever teach music in school, or did you teach music at your home all the time?
I taught music here
at your home.
I taught it here, and
are there any special events that affected your family after you became married that affected your family more than any other events, such as World War I, World War II, Prohibition days, or the Depression days? Do you recall any particular event that was especially hard for you or especially happy for you after you became married yourself and had a family? Or was your family life pretty much just a normal, everyday family life?
It was good. You know, after Mama died, then we place we was living, we swapped it with old man Julius Smith for this.
I see.
And so we got along all right. We got along all right.
Can you recall any famous individuals that you met during your childhood or during your adulthood as you traveled to these different churches and played for these different choirs and things?
The thing that that thrilled me was I love church. And the friends that I went about with from time to time, they were church workers. And that kept me in the church, taking part with the different activities that would come about, you know.
I see.
I love church, and I grew up, then
the most important people that you came in contact with perhaps were church people.
Church.
Either preachers or outstanding singers or outstanding choirs.
Absolutely.
Can you recall any particular preacher or any particular choir or any particular singer that you consider to be most outstanding?
Well, I would say, to mention these people, you know, I'm just talking right now. Mm-hmm. See, the people that had a lot of interest in me, were churchgoers, church workers. And there were these people. We went about from different little towns and things like that. We worked in the church.
I see.
That was our
mission in life, so to speak, at that time. How did y'all travel back in those days? Did you have cars?
On train.
On train.
He's on his way to San Augustine. I'm trying to think of that particular little old town. We'd go there and change and on into San Augustine Miss Garrett, you know. Now that was my bodyguard.
That was your bodyguard.
We'd follow her leadership, you see, and we'd go to dive ball. She was a teacher, you know.
I see.
Yes, so she's a school teacher.
I imagine that was pretty exciting for you girls to travel from place to place by train in particular at that time.
You had to do right.
Had to walk the chalk with her,
yes,
in other words.
You sure did.
Do you recall any particular sayings or poems or songs or passages that meant something especially special to you from those days? I've heard mentioned that you used to recite poetry, is that right? Or had some real...
Dunbar's poems.
Dunbar's poems. They fascinated you, didn't they?
Ooh, honey. It'd take a good one. I tell you, the people that runs the place up here, Undertaker.
Oh, the Timms?
They got a sister. She was much younger than me.
Mm-hmm.
But then we rallied together.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, she was something. She was good. And
y'all would kind of compete against each other, huh?
Uh-huh.
Do you happen to recall any of those poems from...
Well, I can't recall any of her poems, only they would be Dunbar's poems, but to remember any particular poem, I
can't recall any of them right now.
But I could always remember mine, and I yet. That this is when Melinda sings, I do that alone now.
Oh, you do that alone now?
Uh-huh.
You want to give us a few verses of it? As much as you can remember?
Yeah, I will.
Okay.
All right. Go in and quit that noise, Miss Lucy. See, you sitting here at the piano here and just are going and you ain't no way in the world for you to learn how to play, but you're sitting there fumbling with that piano. Go away. I walk up to the piano. I said, go away and quit that noise, Miss Lucy. Put that music book away. What's the need of keep on trying? If you practice until you're great, you can't start no notes to fly. Tell you one thing now, Miss Lucy, and I'm telling you for sure, when it comes to real good singing, it ain't no easy thing to do. It's easy enough for folks to holler looking at the lines and dots, and it ain't no need of I got that book here. looking at the lines and dots. And the
well, that's mighty fine for you to recall that much of it. You can
looking at the lines and dots, and there ain't no need of looking at the lines and dots. And it goes on to say.
Well, I can just detect that you were a tremendous recital of poetry back in those days.
And there ain't no one to sense it, and the tune comes in and spots. But when it comes to real good music, and I'm telling you for sure, he ain't no one can you just ought to sit and listen at me. You ought to hear that gal wobbling, that's it. You just ought to hear that gal wobbling. Robins and birds and all them things. Throw away the drums and guitars when Melinda sings.
Mm-hmm.
She just spreads her mouth and holler, come to Jesus till you hear sinners trembling for heart and voices timid like a drawing near. Then she comes through. Rocks of ages, simply to the Lord we cling. And you hear. Yeah, simply to the Lord, he can. You ought to sit and listen with me while I sit and listen. Go away and quit that noise, Miss Lucy. Stop that dog from barking. Can't you hear? I can hear it. As I sit and listen when Melinda sings. It's that scattered.
Well, that's mighty fine. We can tell that you were indeed quite a talent at reciting poetry during those days. Well, to close our informal conversation out, would you like to just strike us a little tune on the piano so we can sort of reminisce of what it was like to hear you in the days when you were the famous pianist? There you have it, ladies and gentlemen, the life and times of Mrs. Lula Mae Jones Jackson. a remarkable lady. Thank you, Mama Lula, and God bless.